Fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Paul Kewin, who's the creative manager of Vortex and also the product designer of Gagliardi. So you design clothes for men.
I do.
You do. Yes. That must be the best fun.
It can be, sometimes.
And you've been in Malta for a couple of years doing this?
3 years.
3 years already.
Yeah.
And?
And I'm enjoying it.
Yeah?
It's a change from the cloudy skies, the impressive cloudy skies.
Yeah. Sunshine. You don't get too much of it? You didn't feel like 9 month summers are too much after that?
Not yet, no. I still open the curtains and I'm like, oh, blue skies again. It's also nice to be able to plan. In the UK, you can't make a plan.
That's true.
You have to have a fallback plan in case the weather changes. Well, at least here for 9 months of the year, you know exactly how it's going to be and what you can do. So.
Yes, that's true. Barbecue on October 4th. Yes, no problem. We can do that. So, menswear, have you always been in that? Is that your
I have, yes. Right from when I finished university.
Mm-hmm.
I took a temporary job to fill a gap while I decided what I wanted to do in a men's clothing factory.
Okay.
And I had about 9 months to fill. And by the end of the 9 months, I decided, oh, I wouldn't go and do the thing I was going to do. I'd stay and do this.
What were you going to do?
Originally, I wanted to be a diplomat.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking of doing. And then by the time I finished my degree, I wasn't quite so keen on that. And then I was thinking, oh, maybe I should do a legal practice course, but I'd missed the applications, and so I had to fill in this gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I originally went just to manage a shop, but they were looking for trainee buyers or designers work at the factory back in the days when there were still manufacturing in the UK. And so I said, well, it'll be more interesting to pretend to be interested in training to be a buyer for 9 months or 10 months than it would be to work in the shop. And by the end of the 9 months, I thought, actually, I really enjoy this. And it's a nice job. It's a good mixture of the technical, the commercial, the creative.
Uh-huh.
You get to travel.
Because all of that is there's a lot of, I will see it's engineering. When you see menswear, it's so much more complex than women's wear, you know, the layering and linings and...
Yes, and particularly in formal wear, in tailoring, which I specialise in, that's quite an industrial process and quite a complicated process to manufacture a suit or a jacket.
And so you're working for Vortex and Gagliardi now.
Yes.
What other brands have you worked for over time?
So in the past I worked for a company in London called Charles Tirrett.
Oh, yes.
Who specialise in business wear.
Mm-hmm.
They got shops in New York, mainly wherever there are sort of central finance areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for them for 7 years. Before that, I worked for a company that did the suits for other businesses.
Okay.
So they did the suits in Debenhams, in House of Fraser, under Debenhams and House of Fraser's brands, but we actually designed and produced the suits.
Peel off the label, there's someone else underneath, that kind of
thing. Yeah, although they were quite, you had to design to their brief, so they would give you an idea for what they were doing with the rest of their collection under that brand, and then you would have to put the suits together
to
match with that.
Yeah, fantastic.
And, yeah.
Sounds like an ideal job. I think it'd be really fun. Really fun.
Yes, it's just become very difficult, though, because that style of dressing, where when I started work, most guys had 4 or 5 suits in the wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Most professional people wore a suit to work every day.
Yeah.
And over time, suits have become really just for special occasions. Lots of professions don't really wear them even to work.
Such a shame.
No, I mean, here at Vortex, we've had someone coming on site from our accountants, and 5 years ago, an accountant coming on site with a company would have definitely worn a suit if they were, with a client. And even he, is casual in chinos and a polo shirt. And
I don't mind that, but shorts and flip-flops, I kind of draw the line.
Not quite that far.
Yeah, no, that is like, no. No, I don't want to see men's feet. Don't know why, but men in there is a point at work. I think you do need to keep that level, and I say bring back suits, Peaky Blinders and all that. I think they just look lovely.
Yeah, I mean, luckily here for this market, obviously Gagliardi trades internationally, but luckily in the local market where Gagliardi sold through our Vortex shops, there's still here people still dress up for family occasions, for weddings and for baptisms and that sort of thing. So we still have a strong formal wear business here, probably stronger than it is in other markets where it's become a bit more niche.
But this sort of hipster thing that goes on with waistcoats and stuff, that's something you can help dress men with because you have lots and lots of waistcoats. I love the waistcoat range.
Yes, and at Vortex we offer a complete package. So we have casual brands, Ralph Lauren and different brands alongside it. So it's a complete lifestyle offer in the Vortex.
Uh-huh.
And then Gagliardi is the tailoring offer within that.
Uh-huh. So you've been doing that for a long time. I'm looking down your music list. Quite unusual. not what I was expecting, I'll be absolutely honest with you. I don't know you very well. I've met you a couple of times. But the first one Love is like a butterfly, Dolly Parton. Why? What does that bring to you? What does that make you recall? Well,
in defence of Dolly Parton, I do actually think, behind the wigs and the boobs, I think she's actually an underrated songwriter. But the reason I chose it really is more of a memory of childhood. When I was a little boy in the UK in that time, most people only had one television. We only had three TV channels. So most people watched the same program their parents were watching of an evening. And in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a TV program on called Butterflies, which was a bit pioneering in its way because it was about a housewife and a mother and a wife who had her kids had grown up and her husband was taking her for granted. And she found herself a bit of a loss for who she was and what she was going to do. And a generation later, she probably would have started a business or she would have had a career, but she was just in that crossover generation. And it was an unusual program because it was almost as sad as it was funny. But the main thing I remember about it was that when the theme tune used to come on, my parents used to leap or skip around the living room, wafting their arms like butterflies. And I think they used to do it because they knew it made me feel embarrassed and uncomfortable. And they used to pull me and my brother and my two brothers up and make us all dance around the living room, flapping our arms. And I used to do it grudgingly and feeling uncomfortable. And yet now when I look back, that ridiculousness and that sense of fun and that complete abandonment to something silly and not caring what anybody thought is one of the best things about my parents. And I was only uncomfortable because I was a kid and, you know, you're a funny age and you feel uncomfortable. So although I think Dolly Parton is underrated as a songwriter, it just reminds me of my parents and them being silly.
Well, let's have a listen to Dolly Parton and Love is Like a Butterfly.
Love is like a butterfly, as soft and gentle as a sigh. Multicolored moods of love like its satin wings. Love makes your heart feel strange inside. It flutters like soft wings in flight. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing. I feel it when you're with me. It happens when you kiss me. That rare and gentle feeling that I feel inside. Your touch is soft and gentle, your kiss is warm and tender. Whenever I am with you, I think of butterflies. Love is like a butterfly, the multicolored moods of love like its satin wings. Love makes your heart feel strange inside, it flutters like soft wings in flight. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing. Your laughter brings me sunshine, every day is springtime. And I am only happy when you are by my side. How precious is this love we share, how very precious, sweet and rare. Together we belong like daffodils and butterflies. A butterfly, as soft and gentle as a sigh, the multicolored moods of love like its satin wings. Love makes your heart feel strange inside, it flutters like soft wings in flight. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing.
Okay, so anyone who wasn't running around waving their arms to that, this one definitely will move you. This has a memory for me, actually, which is a bit of a random one. But for you, In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins, this is that amazing. We're going to listen to the whole thing. It's long, but we are going to listen to the whole thing when this happens because it's just phenomenal. What does that evoke a memory of?
Well, at the moment it's on my mind because just recently it's been trending on social media. There's two American twins, young in their 20s, I think, who do reaction videos to all songs. And just this last couple of weeks, one of their reaction videos to this song has been going on. And they listen to the whole of it, and they're underwhelmed until that moment, 3.5 minutes, where he drops the beat. And their complete astonishment at his audacity to wait almost to the end of the song to drop that beat that you could get away with this, that you could do with it. And the reason it's on my mind because it's trending at the minute, but it also reminds me, and if you do a creative job, it's easy to think when you're doing something, you should always throw everything at it, that the more you put into it, mm-hmm. the better. And actually this song is a good example of just making one good choice. And if you make one good choice,
mm-hmm.
just one single choice, you can have a piece of work that's still astonishing people 40 years later.
Ah.
That's what I like about this song.
It is absolutely phenomenal. The thing I love about this is, do you remember the Cadbury's advert?
Yes, with the gorilla.
The gorilla. And it's one of those, okay, I get shivers, but I can't turn it off. Once it starts, I have to watch. And you know what's coming, but it's just the best piece of advertising, because now, you know, I think of the song, I've got purple in my head, chocolate. There's, like you said, one decision, perfect.
It's just another example of the genius of it. You say that you know what's coming. So the first time you listen to it, it's astonishing because it takes you by surprise. But every time you listen to it afterwards, that single good choice he made is still powerful because you're waiting for it to come in.
Sorry. And then you sort of take your deep breath and pretend you're behind those drums.
Yes.
So we're going to do it. We're going to listen to the whole of In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. All I want is to be here. And I've been waiting for this moment for all my
one I had to look up. So Kate Bush was somebody that, well, I think she was a bit advanced for me, and I'm slightly older than you, but she was kind of advanced for me, and I never really got into her. So I had to listen to this. This is Hounds of Love. Take me to the story.
Well, Kate Bush is the first musical artist that I discovered for myself. Everybody else I inherited from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So Fleetwood Mac, and people I still listen to now, or Blondie, or Genesis, all of these people. So at the time when I, just before I went to university, most of the music that I had was just what I'd grown up around and listened to and liked. And she was the first person that I liked that my parents didn't like and thought was kooky and weird and strange. And she is all of those things. But what I admire about her is that she has done exactly what she wanted to do throughout the whole of her career. You know, she doesn't do interviews, she doesn't do publicity. For 20 years she didn't tour, she just produced these albums, and yet was still successful, as quirky as she was. But what I particularly remember about it, she hadn't toured for 20 years, and she did tour just after I'd moved to London, about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was a huge deal. It was limited, I think it was just 1 week at the Hammersmith Apollo, so there weren't that many tickets. And in order to get to go and see her, because I never thought I would, because she just didn't tour, I ended up taking a morning off work, and my mum was also on the case for me at home. And so I had a PC and a laptop and an iPad, and my mum had a PC and a laptop, and we were FaceTiming, so we have six sessions on the go. And as soon as the tickets came on sale, we were all, me and my mum in Liverpool, me in London, were chasing to get the tickets, and I managed to get two tickets. And again, the show was exactly as you'd expect. It was kooky, it was weird, it was more like a theatre show than a performance. But I admired the beginning of it, where she came on and she spoke to the audience and she said, look, I spent 18 months on this show, and I have considered what it looks like and what it sounds like from every seat in the house. And I have not considered what it looks like or what it sounds like through a 2-inch screen on your telephone. So if you want a video on your phone, you feel free, but I've never given any thought to what it looks like. And you'd be fools if you do. And then she went back, and not a single phone came out.
Fantastic.
And even in her approach to dealing with her audience, she just took her own approach, her own way of dealing with it. Not, you'll be prosecuted, your phone will be confiscated. Just, you're wasting your time if you look at it this
and
way.
And what a shame to have your phone out when you...
For a once in a lifetime.
Once a lifetime, exactly.
Thing. And I didn't see a single thing. And there was even on social media after it, I think Lily Allen, of all people, was the only person that tweeted anything from the show.
Well, how embarrassing. Yeah, we'll never listen to her again. Right. So we're going to listen to a bit of Hounds of Love by Kate Bush.
It's in the trees. It's coming.
When I was a child, more than a light, afraid of what might be. Hiding in the dark, hiding in the street, and what was full of me. The hounds of love are haunting me. I've always been.
Joni Mitchell, she's another one. Is this another one inherited from your parents or brothers or?
No, this was I had a friend at university who played guitar, and he really admired her guitar playing.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays guitar in open tunings. She tunes the guitar to a particular chord, and then she can change the chord by just using one finger or two fingers and moving it down the fretboard. And that was mainly because she had polio when she was a child in the 50s, and so her left hand isn't that nimble, and so a lot of the sounds that she heard in her head, she couldn't recreate them.
Okay.
So she just has this very singular, unique guitar playing style, which my friend introduced me to, and to this one album, Blue. But the reason why I picked it was just because of a curious thing that happened when I was in university. In my second year, I was listening to this album that my friend had introduced me to, and I had ground floor rooms that overlooked the garden. It had big sash windows. And I was about two tracks in, and somebody poked their head through the curtains and said, "Is that Joni Mitchell's Blue?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she said, "I've never heard anyone else that liked it. Can I come in and listen to it?" I said, "Yeah, sure you can." And so this lad, older than me, a year above, I'm guessing, he climbed in through the window, sat down next to me on a chair, listened to the whole album, gave me a hug, said thank you, and left. Don't know who he was. I never saw him again. But I just thought, well, that's a thing that doesn't happen every day, isn't it?
Well, music connects people. There you go.
Exactly.
So this is A Case of You by Joni Mitchell.
Just before our love got lost, you said, "I am as constant as a northern star." And I said, "Constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar, on the back of a cartoon coaster, in a blue TV screen light. I drew a map of Canada, oh Canada, with your face sketched on it twice. I would still be on my feet. I am a lonely painter. I live in a box of paint. Is touching souls. Surely you touched my anchor. Part of you pours out of me in these lines from time to time. Oh, you're in my blood like holy white, and so bitter and so sweet. Oh, she said, "Go to him, stay with him if you can, but be prepared to bleed. Oh, but you are in my blood, you're my holy wine, you're so bitter, bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a I would still be on my
Now, this next song, we're actually going to try and play it at the end of the program because I think it's something, it's just so fantastic. Thank you for bringing it back to my consciousness, actually, because it's something I'd sort of forgotten about. But it's Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen in brackets. What's your favourite piece of advice that is imparted in this?
I think I have, well, I have three.
Mm-hmm.
I have one at the moment, obviously, which is about the uselessness of worrying.
Okay.
And how worrying, is, he says, is like trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum, and that the things that blindside you are apt to be the things that never crossed your worried mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whole song's full of wisdom, but I think it's particularly true at the moment because whatever any of us were doing at the end of February, we weren't worrying about a pandemic.
No.
And so generally in life, whatever it is you're worrying about is usually the wrong things because never do the things that you're worrying about prove to be the things that are the problem. So I like that, the fact that it just teaches you not to worry. The other bit that I like is he says to remember that all your choices are half chance and so are everybody else's. And I think if you're lucky and you've had a privileged life and a good education mm-hmm. and some good breaks, it's very easy to think that this is all down to you and your talent and your skill and your hard work. And the difference between you and less fortunate people is down to you. And it's not. And, you know, Americans say that a lot of us are born on third base and we think we've hit a home run. Mm. And I think it helps to keep that in mind as well. So.
See, my favourite one is the bit about look after your knees, you'll miss it when they're gone. See, you're so much more sage than me. Okay. Just makes me giggle every time. Yeah. That's why I don't run, because I'm looking after my knees for the future.
So, yeah, if I started a religion, this would be my Bible.
This is fantastic. We are going to listen to it at the end, because I really want everyone to listen to the whole thing and take it home and play it to their kids. That's my thing. So we're going to listen to Everybody's Free later in the programme. So we're going to skip straight on to Leonard Cohen, I'm Your Man. Now, when I thought I'm Your Man, I thought of the Wham version. So, and then I saw Leonard Cohen. It's like, okay, I need to listen to that one to hear what it's all about. So that was a while ago, this track.
Yes, it originally would have been in the 70s, but I first came across it in the early 2000s. I was living in Leeds, and I think he'd been on a Buddhist retreat for about 10 years or something.
Okay.
I don't know. He'd vanished completely from the scene. And when he came out of his Buddhist retreat, he found out that his manager had run off with all his money, and he had to go touring to make some money back for his retirement. He was well into his 70s by this point. And he was touring, and he was playing the Manchester Arena, which wasn't that far from where I lived. And I'd just seen lots of press about him, and along with Bob Dylan, he was one of these people that everyone spoke about him being a poet, and I'd never really appreciated. And I thought, you know, it's up the road.
Mm-hmm.
Simple train journey. He's supposedly a living legend. Probably won't like it. I'll go along. And the concert itself, I mean, first of all, he managed to create a sense of intimacy in a 10,000-seater stadium that was full that you wouldn't have believed. He was clearly at the height of his powers in terms of his command of the audience and mm-hmm. the music. But the thing that hit me the most was that it made me realize it might not be so awful growing old, because he was well into his 70s, and I think he was cool, and I think he was sexy.
Mm.
And he just gives me hope that it might not be. You can be cool and sexy even as you get older.
I think actually men in general get better with age. You know, us poor women have to plump and do stuff, but men just generally get better with age. You know, I look at my partner when he was in his 20s and 30s, I would have walked past. You know, I met him in his 40s, looked amazing. So, yeah, I do think men look better with age. So, Leonard Cohen, we look up to you. And we're going to have a listen to I'm Your Man.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, here I stand, I'm your man.
If you want a boxer, I will step into the ring for you. And if you want a doctor, I'll examine every inch of you. If you want a driver, climb inside. Or if you want to take me for a ride, you know you can. I'm your man. Are the moons too bright? The chains too tight? The beast won't go to sleep. I've been running through these promises to you that I made and I could not keep. Ah, but a man never got a woman back, not by begging on his knees. Or I crawl to you, baby, and I fall at your feet, and I howl at your beauty like a dog in heat, and I clog your heart and I tear at your sheet. I'd say, please, I'm your man.
So isn't this world enough? This is quite sad, this one.
Do you think it's sad?
Yeah, because it kind of, I feel like it sort of slaps you a bit. I don't know. I just feel like it, because it does make you feel guilty that you do all of those things that you sort of shouldn't be doing, and isn't the world enough? You know, I get so excited when I see a butterfly, but then I go and do all the things. Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's a real conflicting song for me. So
I can see that, but I take the other view. I just see it as, for people who are constantly searching after enlightenment through, I don't know, meditation or religion, or see themselves as projects to work on and develop, and they're always constantly looking to the future and constantly looking to a world beyond this world, or something mystical beyond here, or an afterlife, or even a future vision of themselves as where their happiness is going to lie. And I just think it's worth remembering that if you just stop and have a look around,
be happy.
There's astonishing things going on. And the sheer miracle of this world and it looking the way it does and it existing the way it does and it interconnects the way it does, I don't know why anyone's looking for another miracle behind it. It's so miraculous to me.
That's true, actually.
That it connects and work together the way it does.
Yeah.
That you can find such, even just a butterfly or a flower or even just a moment. The other day I was somewhere and there were two old chaps sitting on a bench drinking their tea and having a laugh. And there's so many, you think, you know, the complexity that it takes to bring those two people together in this place. And I don't know why everyone's always searching for enlightenment or something outside. And it just, and so very often I'll see something and I might be about to walk past it and I think, oh, there's an example of isn't this world enough? Isn't this moment sufficiently interesting that you don't need anything else? Mm. You can just marvel at this here and what you're doing. Yeah. So it always makes me feel quite, it reminds me to celebrate what I'm doing and where I am at.
I'm going to re-listen to this now then, because I'm one of those people that always think I've missed out on something and I need to learn how to do everything just in case I've missed a secret skill that I might have. So we're going to listen to Isn't This World Enough.
Love your husband and love your wife. Isn't this world enough? The gas that lets you live your life. Isn't this world enough? All those living in splendor and in sunshine. Isn't this world enough? And those who seek calm going under the knife. Isn't this world enough? Isn't this world enough? Isn't this world enough? Those who seek calm from under the knife. Isn't this world enough? Searching for answers in clouds and under rocks. Isn't this world enough? You starch your collar and pull on Sunday socks. Isn't this world enough? Seeking tits of the cat from your Superman. But isn't this world enough? You've just gone blind, you're a human stop clock. Isn't this world enough? Isn't this world enough? Isn't this world enough? You've just gone blind, you're a human stop clock. Isn't this world enough? While you're aboard, there'll be no deposit back from a cosmic landlord. You don't need to hang your hat on belief in bumper stickers. There'll be no love lost, just pull on that ripcord. Isn't this world enough? This world enough?
Common People by Pulp. That's quite... I like this one, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one. Is that... What does that mean to you?
It's so British. It's camp. It's sarcastic. It's kind of snobby, but it's snobby in the reverse direction, because really the snobbery is against the rich person slumming yes. it. There's a sniff in the third verse, which I think is the best sniff in pop music. But I also like at the height of the whole Britpop thing in the 90s when everyone was, oh, is it Blur, is it Oasis, Cool Britannia? I like the fact that Pulp came along and made the best song of the whole thing while no one was paying attention.
And he was well dressed too.
Yes.
There you
go. Superstar. And I sat next to him once on the Eurostar to Paris, and I desperately wanted to tell him how much I adored this song, and I was such a fangirl. I couldn't even speak. I just sat next to him and looked at him out the corner of my eye. But yes, he's always very stylish.
Yes, we like him. So, common people, you know who you are. Rich people.
She came from Greece, she had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I got her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, my case on a room, Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And then in 30 seconds time, she said, I wanna live like common people. I wanna do whatever common people do. Wanna sleep with common people. I wanna sleep with common people like you. Or what else could I do? I said, oh, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you got no money. And she just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah. I can't see anyone else smiling. Are you sure? You wanna live like common people? You wanna see whatever common people see? Wanna sleep with common people? You wanna sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand. And she just smiled and held my hand. I went to the flash of the shop. I cut your hair and get a job. I smoked some facts and played some pool. Pretend you never went to school. Still you'll never get it right. It's when you're laid in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it. Oh yeah. You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. Never fail like common people. You'll never watch your and dance and drink, because there's nothing else to do.
Lose Yourself to Dance. Can't sit still to this one.
Exactly.
This is a real
one that's at least about getting sweaty and dancing.
You like to dance?
I do, but not so much in public. I like to dance at house parties with friends who are going to judge me. So I had a phase when I was living in London and I started to realize I would see myself at on Facebook dancing in clubs, and I think I was increasingly becoming the It was the granddad with his top off type thing. And my friends would invite me out, and they were all younger than me. And I started crosses a point where you start to get invited out because of the novelty value. Because you're the oldest guy who's still prepared to get up and dance. So I still do enjoy dancing, but I do it mostly at house parties or on my own. But this is a good track to dance.
I've got a funny one. I said to a friend recently for New Year, she said, oh, what are you doing for New Year? I said, oh, we're going to a house party. And she said, who's the DJ? Lost on me. But anyway, so we're going to lose ourselves to dance a bit here by Daft Punk. So last song on your list is I Like America and America Likes Me. This I'd never heard before, actually. Mm. Yeah, I had to look this one up as well. I like being introduced to new music, though, so it's quite good. Thank you. You lived in America, did you, with work or anything like that, or you just...
No, no, nothing to do with America. More okay. to do with the 1975.
Oh, okay.
If you look at...
Even the band's name, yeah?
The band, but even them themselves. If you look at the list of songs I've chosen, I think it's very easy as you get into your 40s and you get closer to 50 to start to think that everything was better when you were a kid.
Mm.
That David Bowie was more inventive than, you know, that all the invention and the aspiration and that what you're listening to now is overproduced and over-researched and, you know, no one's really trying very hard. And this band, the 1975... just give you hope that there's still stuff being made that's ambitious and eclectic and doesn't sound like it's focus grouped. It doesn't have a team of 20 producers. It doesn't sound like everything else. In fact, each track on the album sounds different from the other. So it makes me think, and everyone was always down on this generation and saying, you know, the snowflakes and the this and that. And I've listened to them thinking, yeah, the kids are going to be all right. This is good music still being made. So I like the whole album for that reason. And I also like what they say to the fans. You know, in this song, they're saying, you know, if you're having problems, if you're struggling, just tell someone. How can we know? You know? And I think that's a good message for a band to give to its fans.
Especially at this stage in...
Exactly. And in one of the other songs on the album, they talk about give yourself a try. Before you get too down on yourself, before you decide you want to be someone else, give yourself a try. Just try yourself out.
Mm.
So I think they have nice, hopeful messages. And I also think the music's proper. And the headline guy is properly rock star. He struts around in like a proper rock star.
Proper rock star.
Yeah.
So we don't need to just listen to this. We need to have a bit of a watch of the video.
Some of the videos, yeah.
Excellent. So we're going to listen to I Like America and America Likes Me by the 1975. And then we're going to go straight into Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen. And I seriously want everybody to take every word in and play it to your kids and your grandkids. And thank you so much, Paul Kewin, for joining me on this week's Musical Memories.
I'm scared of dying. Is that on fire? Am I a liar? Ooh. I'm scared of dying. Look, I'm quiet. Ooh. My skin is fire. So is I.
Peace out. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, I'm the sunscreen.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.